Yeah, I'm gonna.
And I might help you.
Yeah, Pop's gonna help me just outline some key things about surf safety.
This is a mentoring relationship, you know. I'm mentoring him. So, do you compete, Warwick?
I used to compete. I used to train 4 times a week and compete about every second or third Sunday. But due to starting an apprenticeship in carpentry, I haven't got enough time to do it anymore. So I just muck around and have a fun in the surf of a Sunday now. And yeah.
Because I noticed before you were a bit out of condition there.
Oh, I know. Well, really, I was just letting the Hoff win because I thought he'd get a bit upset if he came second. But
good to see you're insightful, young man. So one of the things we notice when we first go to the beach are the red and yellow flags here in Hoff-stralia.
Yep.
Called Hoff-stralia now, you know?
Hoff-stralia,
yeah, Hoff-stralia. People want to call it that, so why am I to stop them? How do you choose where to put the flags?
Well, it's different with every beach. So obviously every beach chooses the safest place to put the flags. Some beaches don't have much space to put the flag. So if you look at the entrance, for example, a lot of their beach is actually rocks. And so they've only got a certain amount of space where there's actually sand and
it's very hard
to
get the flags down into the sand when there's rocks there.
No, it's more for the safety of swimmers when they're in the water with submerged rocks.
Okay.
At my beach, we usually have a lot of rips. So we usually put the flags in an area that doesn't have a rip and where the surf is a bit calmer.
So can you tell us, what is a rip and why is it so dangerous?
Well, a rip is just a massive current of water going out to sea. They're not always that easy to see, but if you look at a sandbar on low tide, you'll usually see like a deep channel between two sandbars, and you'll see water rushing out through there, and there's usually no waves breaking out the back in that
rip. Hopefully you just see water going out there, not little children.
Yeah. If you see little children, call for help, put the arm up.
Okay, all right. So, you know, if you get caught in a rip, what should you do besides, help, I'm low! Manly approach.
That's the first thing you don't want to do. If you get caught in a rip, just stay calm and keep your head above water. Rips will only take you out as far as a break. So really, there's two ways you can get out of it. You can wait until you get out the back and just swim across and catch a wave in. Or if you don't want to head out too far, just swim across the rip until you don't feel a current anymore. And it's heaps easier to get in and you won't be stuck in it. And there's usually a sandbar next to a rip. So by the time you can stand up, you're pretty much safe.
And if I want to get the... Not I, because you know, the half doesn't get lost, doesn't get caught in rips. If Scott Laidlaw out there's in a rip, at Scott's head, he's going out there, he's got no idea how to swim. If he needs the attention of you or I, what should he do?
He should stick his hand up in the air and stay calm. You know, not waving around like this because it just looks like he's saying hi and we'll just wave back. The best thing to do is just hold it up straight until you're seen by lifesavers and,
And they'll come out and get you. Friendly bunch, you Ozzy. Someone's out the back drowning and you're all standing on the beach waving to them.
It's a way.
So, can we approach the surf lifesavers? Like, if I'm going down to the beach and all the ladies are following me and they're really bothering me and I want to find a spot that's safe on the beach, can I come down and talk to the surf lifesavers?
Yeah, certainly can, Hoff. Yeah? You can, anyone's able to approach lifesavers. They're there to help out the community and answer whatever questions you need. And if you are struggling with something, we can help you overcome that or even ring emergency services if that's needed. And yeah.
What about if I noticed that guy here before, the guy who didn't look like he'd shaved for about 6 months or bath for about 12. He looked like one of those surfboard riders. Do we talk to them?
Yeah, you can talk to them.
Oh. Okay. So they can come up and sort of ask you where they might be able to surf and stuff.
Yeah, they can. The big rule with life-saving is that there's the two red and yellow flags, and then next to them there'll be a black and white checkered flag. Those flags are there so that surfers aren't allowed to swim within those flags to keep a safe distance between swimmers and surfers.
Oh, that's really intelligent, isn't it, everyone? Oh, yeah. The half thought of that.
Is that your idea, Hoff?
Yeah. So if we go to a beach and there is no patrol, then how do I make a decision of, not me, because I'm okay, but how do they make a decision of whether it's safe to swim or not?
Well, a big thing that we say in lifesaving is that if the beach isn't patrolled, it's not safe to swim. But, you know, really, it just depends on your competencies. So if you're not confident in the water, just stay in shallow water and don't go out. But if you are confident, then just stay in a safe area that you know. But otherwise, always try to find a patrolled area because that's where it'll be safest.
And look out for those reefs.
And look out for those rips, yes. Don't get sucked out the back when there's no one watching.
No. And if you do, wave like that because it doesn't matter anyway.
No, it doesn't matter. No. We'll just wave back.
And now you guys in Hossie, you have those stingers?
The stingers, yes, stingers. We do.
You want to talk to us about those blue bottles and those stingers?
Yeah, I'd love to. So there's a variety of stingers. There's blue bottles. There's Irin Jansey. Don't know if I pronounced that correctly, but... They're very.
I'm not asking Japanese ladies. I think that's a Japanese term. Irukandji.
They're from Queensland, I think.
Okay, we've had enough of Warwick again. But we know most people in Queensland have come from Japan. Haven't you been to the Gold Coast?
Yeah. All right, Hop. We'll stick to that.
That's okay.
But yeah, so they're microscopic, and you can't actually see Irin Jansey with your eyes.
Unless you have really good eyesight.
Yeah. Which I'm assuming the Hoff does.
The Hoff does. You want to see some Irukandji, come and see me.
There's also box jellyfish and blue-ringed octopus. So the best treatment for blue bottles, which is the most common in New South Wales beaches, is hot water, as hot as you can take it, because it kills the venom and stops the sting. But if you're not around hot water, then the second best thing is ice because it slows it down and stops the sting from hurting. With Irin Jansey, different people react to it differently. Some people just need ice and it'll still hurt, but it'll like cool it down for a while. Some people might even need medical attention because they go into shock and possibly an ambulance. With box jellyfish and blue-ringed octopus, you should ring an ambulance as quick as possible because they can kill you. And the best thing to do is put ice on it to slow down the venom because hot water won't actually do it. Mm. And yeah, so ambulance as quick as possible for those two.
On my Irukandji, I usually like a little bit of wasabi and soy. I'm glad you like that, Warwick. So because I'd heard here in Hoth, Australia, that some people urinate on if you get like a sting. That doesn't work?
That does not work. That is a very big myth.
You were all thinking it. I was just asking it, okay? I am the people's mouthpiece.
I thought you'd have experience in that hole.
No, that's not
good. You haven't done it before?
Warwick, okay. There's lots of dangers at the beach, but one of the greatest dangers is the sun.
Yes, the sun is most definitely one of
the
biggest dangers.
Mind you, without the sun, it would be very dangerous too to be at the beach.
Oh, it would be.
It would be very dark.
Yeah.
And it'd be cold. So, you know.
All right, so there's a number of different things.
Yeah.
All right, so with the sun, the best thing to do is slip, slop, slap, which is basically wear a hat, put sunscreen on, and wear a shirt, because they're the best defenses against the sun. So a lot of things that people might not know about UV radiation is that it doesn't just hit you directly, it also hits you indirectly. So say you're at the snow, I know it's not the beach, but the snow,
Or if it's snowing at the beach.
80% of the UV radiation will reflect off the snow and reflect back up onto you, and it can still burn you and give you cancer. So 40% of UV radiation will make its way through the water when you're at the surf. So that's why it's always good to wear sunscreen when you go in the water, because you can still get burnt while swimming. Also standing in shade doesn't always protect you, because sand also reflects UV radiation. So it reflects around 30%, so you don't get burnt as quickly, but you still get burnt. A really cool thing that I've noticed through surf lifesaving is that people that do competitions and stuff, they get given these really thin dress shirts. And so they're long sleeve, button up shirts. And what they do is after they go for a swim, they get dry and they just chuck them on. And I thought, why would people do that? But it's because they're so light and easy to wear They don't get all sticky, and yet they still protect your entire body from the sun. And they also have like a wide brimmed hat that they can wear. And yeah, and always plenty of sunscreen or zinc helps, especially on the nose and on the ears. Another thing is that a lot of people think your hair can protect your scalp from the sun. All right, Hoff, your hair is pretty thick, you know, it might. But your hair can get damaged and you can go bald from having exposed to the sun too much. You a bit worried about that, Hoff?
I'm not going to mention Scott Laidlaw again. he knew it was coming.
Too much sun can thin your hair and make it go bald. Or the opposite, if you have really greasy hair, too much sun will increase the grease and make it really thick and not so nice.
I thought it might cook it like, you know, those fish and chips they just had.
Oh, that'd be nice. Also, the leading... It was on the thing I read, but one of the leading places for skin cancer and melanomas is on the scalp, because so many people think that their hair will protect them. So always wear a hat when possible. If you're planning to go out in the sun, do that. And with the night swimming at the beach, the reason it's bad to swim at the beach at night is because
no one can see you.
No one can see you, yes.
And you want people to see you when you're swimming.
You want people to see you.
When you look like the Hoff, you know?
You certainly do. But also, sharks at night time. So a great amount of shark attacks usually happen in overcast weather or at night time because they can't see you properly. And all they do is see like a thing moving in the water and they're like, oh, I'll just go take a bite of that, see if it's any good. And yeah, so don't go swimming at night. It's very dangerous.
So should we be worried about sharks, Wally?
I don't think you should be worried about sharks. When you think about it, how many people go to the beach? There is a very low chance...
Not many of these people, I don't think, are.
There is a very low chance that you will ever get bit by a shark. There's been 6 in the last 3 years, I think. And with the percentage of people that go on the beach, it's not many at all. And yeah. So there's nothing to worry about with sharks.
So is there anything, you know, some of these people with little kids, I don't have any myself. The kids aren't lucky enough. should they be teaching their kids stuff before they go to the beach? I mean, you know.
Yes, you should. So there's a number of things that you can do with your kids when you take them to the beach. One is to teach them signals. So like a few easy ones would be return to shore. So pretty much when your kids are out swimming and you want them to come in, you can just hold your hand up and you teach them that, and as soon as they see it, they'll come back to shore. Another one is...
You know, I've heard Mikey Pledge, he goes down the beach, he holds up an icy pole and these kids come like a magnet.
That's an even better idea. Go with that one.
Mind you get a really sticky arm if they're a long way out.
Yeah, I guess so. You can always hold it in the wrapper, can't you?
Yeah, okay.
All right. Another one is usually you want your kids to swim between the flags. Now, sometimes there's a current that goes across the beach. And so, like, they'll start getting dragged outside the flags. A good thing to know is that instead of, like, waving your kids saying, you know, that way, just, like, get
throw something at them.
Yeah, get their attention. So by getting their attention, you just wave your arms like that. And then just point to the way you want them to go. So just one arm straight out. To go right or straight out the other way to go left. Simple as. Another good one is a new sign that's been developed in Surf Life Saving is everything okay? So like if your child's out there in the back of the break or like in the surf and you're not sure what's wrong or if he seems like he's having difficulty, a good thing is that it's just that. Just stick a hand on your head like that. And if the return signal is that, so if everything's okay, then it's sweet. But they can also go like this, which means not okay. And if they're struggling to stay afloat, then maybe you can go ask a lifesaver to go out and help them out or go see what's wrong. And yeah. So just a few simple signals that you can teach them.
I believe the surf lifesaving clubs now have websites.
Yes.
You Hossies now have the internet. Yeah?
Yes. So every surf club in New South Wales will have a website. And you can access that through Surf Life Saving Australia, and they'll come up with different states. So obviously in New South Wales, Cook, New South Wales, and it'll come up with all the surf clubs in New South Wales. And whereabouts they are, they'll come up with maps, they'll give you directions, and they'll say what times the beaches are patrolled from and to and from. And they'll also tell you like different surf reports. So they have a lot of beaches have surf cams, which actually shows you footage of the beach, like 30 seconds of what the weather's like and what the surf's like. And it has like a little report on what the weather's doing that day. And so you can find that on Surf Life Saving Australia and get like info on each beach or any beach you want to go to.
So that's a great thing. If people are going on holidays, you know, to do a bit of research before you go, make sure your beach is safe.
Do a bit of research, find out which beach you want to go to, and make sure that it's a good beach for you.
And also, you know, they have half cam there, and you know, it's like half watch. If you're lucky enough, the half to be at your beach.
Mm.
Yeah, most definitely. Thank you, Warwick. I'm glad you...
We'll have to point that out. We'll put that on the site. We'll just say, like, which beach Hoff is at, and everyone will just flood there.
So what's involved with becoming a volunteer lifesaver? If people want to join the ranks like you and me, and who wouldn't, let's face it, Warwick? Me in particular, but what do they need to do?
So it's really easy. You can go to a surf club any time on the weekend, because that's when volunteers will be there. Just find someone like the patrol captain, and they'll give you details of how to join. After you've joined, there's a number of things you can do. You can be an active member, which means you do patrols once a month or once every 2 months, depending on how many members are actually in the club. And so once you pay your membership, the surf club will pay for all the training that you need to do. So there's a number of different things you can do. You can do your bronze medallion, which is like a lifeguard course. It counts for both pool and surf lifeguards, so it's a really good thing to do, and that's free of charge. It's just once a night for 6 weeks, and you learn all your things, and then you have a field day where you do a 400-meter swim, a run-swim-run, and a board rescue. They also teach you your silver medallion, which is beach management. That's just how to set up the beach, you know, what to look for in surf conditions, and how to talk to people on the beach so that they know what's going on. And that's to be your patrol captain. You can also learn a various number of medical certificates within surf life saving. So you can get basic first aid, applied first aid, which used to be called senior first aid, but they've changed it recently. You can also get advanced resuscitation. You can learn how to use defib devices and oxygen bottles. You learn how to administer all of it, and you learn the really basic feature called Dr. ABCD, and that's pretty much just the steps you take to do almost any emergency or any circumstance. So it's danger, response, airways, breathing, compressions, and defib. That's the one.
And then H for call the half, if that all fails.
Oh, actually, they've put a new one in now. After the DR, it's S, which is seek. So seek
the half.
Seek help, not the half.
Seek the half.
Which means call an ambulance or ask someone else to call an ambulance or police or whatever's needed. And you can get your boat license within Surf Life Saving to drive the rubber ducky. You can get your jet ski license. You can learn various things, even helicopter rescues you can go through. And
excellent. Well, I know the half's been a little bit probably disrespectful of Warwick, but I have nothing but the utmost respect for these guys. They do it for free. They keep your kids safe, my kids safe. And I want you to join me in thanking Warwick for being up here today, and also for every day that he spends down at the beach. So everyone put your hands together. Via con Dios, bro! All right, give the half a hug.